around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We thank you for allowing us to come into your home and to share from the Word of Almighty God. It's great to be with you. I trust that your day has already been immensely and powerfully blessed by the presence of the Lord God of Abraham. How gracious, how encouraging and strengthening is the very presence of God. As the Apostle Paul said in Acts 17:28, according to one of the poets, he says, "In him we live and move and have our being." In him we live, we move, and we have our being. I know people say, well, how's that scriptural? Well, the Bible verse does say, Acts 17:28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring," talking about the offspring of Jesus Christ. Don't know who the poet was, but the poet made a very correct and profound statement. Thus the Apostle Paul quoted him. In the sense, the reality is, it is in Christ that we live and we move and we have our being. John 15:5, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Think of that. Without Jesus, we are unable to do anything. I want to make several notes of mention things here. Revival meeting, April the 16th through the 19th, 2020 at Hickory Metro Convention Center. We invite you to go and register to be a part of this great, great meeting when we believe the Spirit of God will continue to move in that which we set our hands to do regarding the things of the kingdom of God. The revival meeting theme will be power failure in the church. Power failure in the church. I want to invite you to please come and be with us. We're also working on an arrangement date in October of 2020 in Rome, Georgia. I was down there just a few weeks ago. Very, very beautiful little town. They have a very old auditorium dating back to being built in 1916. So it's 103 years old. As I said the other day, it has the little cubicle, the little boxes that jut out into the middle of the theater, the auditorium. And just like the box booths that John Wilkes Booth ran up and shot President Abraham Lincoln, jumped from that booth, that box, onto the stage floor, broke his leg. And you could do the same thing in this auditorium down there. And it seats around 800 to 1,000 people. So we want to invite you to also gear up for that one. We'll give you a more specific date here in the coming weeks about that next October. It is our desire to do anywhere between 2 and 4 of these a year in different parts of the country. So we're trying to minister. We're trying to accommodate everyone that we possibly can. All we need is you to sign up and register and support these works. God will bless that which you do. Again, we're not in this for the sake of making money. We're not trying to make a living. We don't have any different prices or contributions for VIP seats or this or that. It's just one registration fee. And as always, we want to remind you that just covers the cost and renting the facilities, bringing in the audio people, the video people, and of course, giving our speakers very gracious honorariums, taking care of their travel expenses and their hotel bills. So that's where your money goes. It doesn't go into my pocket. It goes right to everything that is needed to facilitate a meeting such as this manner. I also want to encourage you to get your DVD set of the Age of Deception revival meeting that we had back in April. Great, great, great meeting. I know that it will touch your heart and your life, something that you can watch with your family, Also take the time to use it as a teaching aid. Anytime I teach or preach, I'm going to give you a plethora of scriptures. Those scriptures will help you in a teaching aid. I had a dear lady wrote me just some weeks ago, and she said she uses the newsletters and things like that as a study guide for devotions, because they all speak to her heart and speak to her life. So there are many ways to use the ministry tools that we have in newsletters, messages, sermons, DVD, CD, audio, podcast. They're very informative and will strengthen your walk with God. Before we get into the program today, we've been speaking about the depravity of man. We've been talking about sin and how sin negatively affects each and every one of us. But I want to go back today and play an old song by Guy Penrod. I'm not exactly sure how old this song is, probably around 40 to 50 years of age. But it's simply entitled, "Why Me, Lord?" I pray it'll speak to your heart. And I'm sure many of you can certainly relate to the song and the message that God has used in it.
My soul
I trust today that your soul is truly in the hands of the Lord. He's a great big God. He cares for us. He cares for all of us in a very personal way. And I pray today that your soul is anchored in Jesus, the Lord Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. We want to go back today. We're talking about the age, not the age of deception, the depravity of man. The depravity of man. Without a doubt, man is terribly, terribly deprived. We've been talking about the putrefying sores. We've addressed the fact that I believe America is Babylon. All the nations of the earth regretfully have fornicated with America. America, as Dimitri Dudeman was told by the angel, is Babylon. And the reason being is because we allow people to bring their foreign religions and gods into this land. I mean, they are pushing, they're striving, they're contending profusely to take down America and America's identity. Anything you say about closing up the border or evicting illegal immigrants, you're a racist. The thought of giving illegal immigrants, criminals, now you say, well, they're not really criminals. Yes, they are. Try to invade a foreign country and see what they do with you. Isn't it amazing no one's trying to get into China, North Korea? As a matter of fact, I don't see where any other country in the world, even South Korea or any of these countries where they're trying to get into the nation and destroy the character, the personage of that nation, the identity of that nation. There's not another nation on the planet that hundreds of thousands and millions of people are seeking to enter in and destroy the identity of America and who America was and is and what America was founded upon. Just the other day, I believe it was in California, maybe Georgia, I can't remember. There's so much cynical news. How they're wanting to stop the Pledge of Allegiance. And they said the Pledge of Allegiance is prejudiced. Yet, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for, that's right, all. All. Doesn't matter color, religion, sex. Yet they say it's racist. What they're doing, they're trying to take away the mentality, the mentation of what is correct, what is right, what is righteousness in this nation. And you see, sin demands lawlessness. Now, you may not believe that, but sin demands lawlessness. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Of course, the word iniquity there is lawlessness. And because a lawlessness will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Even purported Christian people are becoming tepid, cold, indifferent, lukewarm. Why? Because lawlessness is affecting their lives. How about the police officer the other day where the EMT was attending a automobile accident? One of the persons was killed. The EMT had the man or woman's wallet. It did not clarify whether it was a man or a woman. I believe it was a man, now that I think about it, because it was a wallet designed billfold. He took the money, counted it, put it back in the wallet. This is all on videotape. He then hands it to the police woman. She's attending the scene of the accident. She sets down her patrol car. She takes the cash. She puts it in her purse, not realizing her body cam is running the whole time. She stole the decedent's money. They need to put her in the jail and prosecute her to the fullest extent of the law. But what it's telling me, if we're not careful, every part of our society morally is breaking down because of sin. You would think you could trust a police officer at an accident scene that they would somehow just do the right thing. But oh no, they steal the money of the deceased, the decedent. What's happening to people's consciousness? The spirit of chaos, the spirit of confusion is working extensively in America right now, and it's blown up exponentially. It's sad. It's so tragic. It's we're watching sin as it takes the toil on the earth and the leadership. The governor of California give away some. I know his name is Gavison, but it's give away some. $100 million to give illegal immigrants health care. Here, you live here, you pay your taxes, you do the right thing, you can't get jack. Many of you, just like me, you don't even have any insurance. I pay county taxes, I pay property taxes, state, federal taxes, I pay all that. You think I can get free health care? Absolutely not. The system is corrupt because sin, anything that sin ever touches, it becomes ugly and heinous. Now, I know people don't believe that. They don't want to hear that. But any and everything that sin ever touches, it becomes heinous, ugly as it can be. This is why the world must be touched by the hand of God. As long as Satan is touching the world becomes more and more corrupted. Corrupted. You have Nancy Pelosi. You have Hillary Clinton, who says, do not enter the door when the ICE officers come to arrest you and deport you. Even though you've been to court, you've been clarified, you've been deemed an illegal immigrant slash lawbreaker, and the ICE agents have a right to arrest you and to export you back out of this country, they say, don't enter the door, don't sign anything, don't do anything. Yet both Speaker of the House and who was trying to become the President of these United States would have taken an oath that they would defend the Constitution and uphold the law. Do you realize what kind of a president you would have had that now is a purveyor of lawlessness herself? Don't answer the door. Don't respond to the ICE agents. Yet she says she would uphold the law and the Constitution of the United States of America. Lawlessness. Lawlessness is ripping this nation apart. People don't pray anymore. People don't read their Bibles anymore. Churches are dwindling. Churches are dying. I wish I could give you an outstanding report today. I wish I could say, hey, everything is going great. But I'm not a fool. Sin is like cancer. If it goes unchecked, it will kill you. It will destroy your life. Look up the word cancer in the dictionary. Here's what it says. Any evil condition that spreads destructively. Then you add the word malignancy. A malignant tumor. The word malignancy simply means tends to produce death. Tends to produce death. Can I tell you the wages of sin is death? I know people don't want to hear that. I hardly ever hear any preacher anywhere say anything about sin. They don't say one word about sin. Why? talking about adultery, sodomy, fornication, lying, cheating, embezzling, like Mr. Epstein, and all the many trips that Slick Willie flew with him on his airplane to his little island of escapades. The world is hemorrhaging, and unless America turns to God, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. How can I make that statement? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This is what God says is going to happen. Not only would men deceive you more and more and more, they become more deceived themselves. So you got deceivers deceiving deceived people. The tragedy of deception is you think you're right, but you're completely and utterly wrong. Wrong. No other nation but America can fulfill Revelation 18. America is a modern day Babylon. The debauchery, the depravity, the debasedness, the raunchy, randy sins of this nation are destroying us. Saw it on the news just the other day, a Walgreens. 60-some black young people went into Walgreens at one time and pillaged the store. 60. You said that's a racist statement. No, it's not. I'm just telling you something is wrong. Something is wrong. My two sons knew if they ever done anything like that or become a part of a motley crew like that, I'd beat them to near death if they did something like that. I taught them, yes, sir, no, sir. I taught them the best I knew how as a father. I believed in punishing them for their disobedience and their transgressions. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it." You have to tell a child that's wrong. You can't pamper them, pat them, protect them. Time out in the corner. Are you kidding me? Sin is a rage. Sin is a mere rage. Sin is devastating. Sin takes no prisoners. It kills, it steals, it destroys. Everything that's marred in your life is because of sin. Everything that's ever been destroyed in your life was because of sin. Every marriage that has been dissolved, destroyed, or whatever, it's because of sin. Sin. And sin can never be satisfied. You can never satisfy lust and covetousness. I don't care how much you get, you still want more. You still want more. And after you live a life of sin for so long, you lose your consciousness of what is right and what is wrong. So you utterly end up with a reprobate mind. And therefore, you don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. Your moral compass is destroyed. And what you're seeing in America, because America has become the habitation of every unclean and hateful bird, according to Revelation 18 and verse 2. Every foul, F-O-U-L, every sinful, degraded, debased, demonic entity is flourishing in the United States of America. There's an attack, there's an assault against Christianity as never before. If it has anything to do with Jesus Christ, slam it, castigate it, encroach upon it, impinge its character and dignity, destroy it. But let me tell you something, though, folks. When they've all died and gone to hell, the Word of God still marches on. Unwaveringly. The Word of God marches on. when all of these agnostics, these demon-possessed devils, these legislators, these senators, these congressmen who've lived in the pits of hell and of sin, at the end of the day, when they die, they stand before a holy God, and they say, Thou art King of kings, Thou art Lord of lords, Thou art the Holy One of Israel. Yet they're sentenced and they're damned to an eternal hell. Nobody's getting by. Nobody's going to get by God. Nobody's going to go by this thing and get by without being adjudicated and judged accordingly. Revelation 22:12 says, Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. Men work evil, and they're going to reap evil. The earth is travailing. The storms, the hurricanes, the weather anomalies and aberrations. They say, well, it's global warming. No, it's not global warming. It is sin. It is sin. You're going to witness more and more rabies cases. You're going to see more people get rabies. You're going to see more animals with rabies. You're going to see the beast of the field. They're going to become, the animal creation is going to become more bizarre by the day. Yeah. Yeah. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8 says, And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was called Death and Hell, followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. You're going to see more bizarre actions out of creation. The earth, the animals, you're going to see more snake bites. You're going to see more ravenous animals. Why? Everything is being cursed by sin, and it's growing exponentially. It's exploding. How about the man the other day? I forget how many dogs he had, but they noticed after a while the man was missing. His dogs killed him, and they ate him. I thought a dog was a man's best friend. Now, animals can become demon-possessed as well. You say, well, that's not biblical, Pastor. Are you sure animals can become demon-possessed? Well, I wouldn't have made that statement if I didn't believe that statement and if I didn't have Bible to back that statement up. But see, animals have a spirit. In the fifth chapter of Mark, the demoniac was demon-possessed. The main demon in the man was called Legion, for we are many, he said. And Legion asked the Lord, he said, don't send us away out of the country. Then the Bible said there was a herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought Jesus, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits, plural spirits, went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Some would say, well, doesn't Legion mean 6,000? Yes. But there were only 2,000 swine? Yes. So each swine was demon-possessed by about 3 demons. I marvel at psychiatry and multiple personalities. Those are not multiple personalities. Those are demonic entities that are talking to the psychiatrist. Who am I talking to today? Mary. Come in the next day. Who am I talking to today? I'm talking to Dave. You're talking to Dave today. Come in the next day. Who am I talking to today? This is Sherry. You say, well, psychiatry says those are split personalities. They're schizophrenic. They're demon possessed. And in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I'll curse you with the spirit of madness. Absolute insanity. Just absolute craziness. Crazy. You all seen the story on the news some weeks ago where the guy went ballistic at a bagel store. 5 foot tall and just started ranting and raving toward every customer in line until he went and shoved some guy, and the big guy just took him down and slammed him on the floor. What makes a little guy act like that? He said even on a dating site, women make fun of him because he's 5 feet tall. Rage. Sin. Sin devours. Sin knows no boundaries. Sin does not reach a certain place in life and says, well, I won't go any further. Sin just keeps on encroaching until it has consumed everything. It's not by happenstance. It's not by chance that God puts the wicked on the left hand and God puts the righteous on the right hand. And today we have those terminologies in politics. Oh, he's from the left. Oh, he's from the right. And now you have these socialists. Socialism has never worked and will never work because you take from those who have and you give to those who have not. You see, because of the poor work ethics of people in America today, that's what they're willing to accept. Just sit on their duff, do nothing, get a check, get housing, get food stamps, get whatever, education. I would say to young people, they learn a trade. Learn to be a brick mason. Learn to be a plumber. Learn to be an electrician. Learn to do something that you know will help sustain your family, your life, your marriage, or whatever. There are things you can learn. People go to college, they get out with a four-year degree, they can't find a job. Say what you will, God bless Donald Trump. I pray for Donald Trump all the time. He's just a man. He's been raised up, I think, to be nothing but a temporary deterrent. He's trying to do what's right. But see, the system is gone. The system is so vile. The system is so wicked. I'm telling you, people are evil today. You don't realize that when you walk into particular offices or places of government, wickedness has already usurped the power, the authority there, just like that police officer woman who steals the decedent's money. She has no respect for the deceased. He's dead, she's dead, it don't matter, I'll take the money. Where's the character, the integrity in that? It's called lawlessness. That was the theme, that was the motif in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I pray to God the Democratic Party does blow up. Just like Ms. Cortez and Ms. Pelosi, I hope they fight every day. They send out tweets and strike each other. This is the results of sin. Some of these people won't be reelected, of course, in 2020 because the people of America are going to wake up in their district and say, you know what, that was a foolish mistake to put that person in there because, hey, they've had control of the Congress now, it will be a year in November, and what have they done for us? What have they done for us? Take away what Donald Trump has tried to do. You ask yourself what your Senate and your Congress has done for you. Nothing. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. They're self-centered. They're self-serving. Here's the beautiful thing about salvation. Sin from its origin is ugly. It remains ugly to this day. Anything it touches, it perverts, it distorts, It causes to become heinous. But when God touches something, now it becomes beautiful. Psalms 149 verse 4 says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." You see, salvation makes people beautiful. Psalms 29:2, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." You see, redeemed people become beautiful because Christ has touched their life. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." I've met Christian people who were so beautiful, who were so loving, who were so gracious, who were so kind, not because of their humanity or their flesh, but because Jesus had a place of residence in their hearts. In their hearts. That's what made them beautiful. Beautiful. That's the difference. That's all the difference. The word beauty here in Psalms 149 and 4 means like an ornament or a nuptial tiara, a crown that a bride would wear in her wedding. As I said, the word beauty here means an ornament or a wedding tiara. Now, there's a vast difference in what God puts on people and what Satan puts on people. You see, Satan puts rot, filth, degradation, immorality. Satan puts stuff on people that's absolutely heinous. Isaiah 61 and 3 says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Ashes are put on because of mourning, weeping, and brokenness. Some of you have seen where they have what's called as Ash Wednesday. I don't practice that. I don't keep that. They take, if I remember correctly, they take the palm leaves from the previous year, Palm Sunday, burn those. That's where they get the ashes. And then the next year they take the ashes and they put a mark on their forehead. You see that in Catholicism. It's called Ash Wednesday. Those ashes typify mourning, brokenness, and weeping. You see, this is what sin does. Sin brings all of this into the lives of God's people. Sin is so ugly. Let me share from 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 10 through 19. Let me share this horrific story. And this was all because of sin. Now, after Nathan the prophet indicted the psalmist David of his adultery, his murder, because he did not willfully on his own repent, he had to be indicted. This is why years ago the Lord said, "Be quick to repent. Don't make me indict you. Don't make me cite you, write you a citation for your sins. You be quick to repent." Because if you don't repent, you have sown seeds of sin. And seeds of sin bring forth rebellion, hatred, malice, every evil work that can be imagined. When you sow sin, he says, you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You get so much far worse than what you did. Now, here is some of the results of the psalmist David sleeping with Bathsheba and having Uriah killed. 2 Samuel chapter 13, beginning at verse 8. Let's back up a little bit further. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. He was laid down. She took flour, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. She took a pan, poured them out before him, but he refused to eat, and Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, now this is her brother and sister, these are brothers and sisters, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. Tamar took the cakes which she had made. She brought them unto the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come, lie with me, my sister. She answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. The Hebrew says, she said, do not humble me. Do not break me. For no such thing ought to be done in Israel. According to Leviticus chapter 18. Don't do this, she said. Do not this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. In other words, he hated her now with great hatred. So that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Why did she put on ashes? She put on the ashes because she was mourning. She was broken. She had been utterly ruined and destroyed as a woman because of this incestuous relationship with her brother Amnon. But that's not the end of the story. If you'll continue to read here in 2 Samuel chapter 13, Absalom avenges Tamar, and he kills Amnon. Or had him killed. He told his servants, wait till he gets good and drunk, And then you kill him. You kill him. This is what happens with sin. Tamar, she did nothing to deserve this. As a matter of fact, it was King David that sent her to Amnon's house. But see, God said to David, the sword will never leave your house. You didn't repent of your sin. You took another man's wife. You committed adultery. You murdered her husband. And then God creates or allows circumstances, certain events to come to fruition that is so troubling and devastating to David himself. Of course, Absalom was killed by Joab. I don't have time to discuss all of the children and their demise and their death, but the point is, the sword never did leave David's house. So God says, let me put on the garment of praise for your heaviness. See, God wants to take that which the devil has meant for evil and give you beauty for the ashes. The oil of joy because you're weeping and you're mourning. The garment of praise and of worship because the spirit of heaviness is upon you. Everything in this world becomes ugly because of its mere connection to sin. Everything in America is ugly today for the most part because of sin. Sin has touched it. Sin has contaminated it. Sin has polluted it. Sin has demented it. Sin has twisted it. Sin has deranged it. Sin. Sin. Well, I'm going to turn you off, Pastor. I don't want to hear you talk about sin. It does not change the evil effect that sin is having in the earth by turning me off, because God's word speaks against sin and evil. God's word says in Psalms 94:16, who will stand up for me against the evildoers, or who will rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? God says, who's going to do this? Who's going to stand up because of this sin? Who? What? Who will wave the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ? Isaiah 58 verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Show the people their sins. Tell them they're living in sin. Tell the homosexual his lifestyle is sin. Tell the fornicator his lifestyle is sin. Tell the adulterer his or her lifestyle is a life of sin. The drunkard, the drug abuser, that is a lifestyle of sin. You cannot do that and be right with God. It doesn't work. Don't preach the blood of Jesus Christ. Substitute the blood for something else. That's right. Let's get us another object that we say cleanses us from sin. Listen. Satan doesn't care how you get off track, just as long as you get off track. He doesn't care. He knows the way is straight. He knows the way is narrow. He knows that just a few are going to make it. And he gets glory. Satan gets glory in destroying Christians, Christian homes, Christian families, Christian ministries. And if he can't destroy you, he will make you prideful. He will make you arrogant. He will make you self-righteous. He will put you in a place of purported ministry and use you in a wicked way. Evil. Evil. Some of you listening, you don't realize it. Some of the people that you listen to use you. They use you. They make a living off of your back. They want to attach their life to some purported ministry and make a living, make money off of ministry, but they're not ministers. But because they got their little fanfare, their little side freak show, they do these things. But when it comes to returning phone calls, praying for people, helping people, they're not into that. They're not into that. Using gimmickry, using tricks, using chicanery to perpetually raise money. That's why we don't ask for money. We're not a charlatan. We're not a huckster. We're not a trickster. Either God is big enough that when we preach the word of God, people will be ministered to and they will give because they've received something from the Lord. And those of you who tune in every week, you wouldn't give the voice of evangelism air in a jug. Doesn't take away the fact you're not learning, you're not growing. I wouldn't do that as a Christian. Of course, my ethical standards are high because I have a godly, goodly conscience. There's just things I cannot do. I've had Christians, ministers, you name it, lie to me. And then say, Brother Lankford, and then tell their lie. You're not my brother. You're a hireling. Paul called them in Galatians 2, false brethren. Now, what an oxymoron. False brethren. You're false, but you're my purported brother. No, you're not my brother. You're not my sister. Because you're dishonest. You will lie for the sake of convenience. I've met people like that. I know people like that. As soon as they're snared or called in a lie, they're going to lie so they don't have to admit that they made a mistake or they did something wrong. That's because they have no spiritual integrity. David said, mine integrity hath preserved me. I'm telling you, folks, the way is straight. The way is narrow. And this is why Jesus calls them hypocrites. Oh, ye hypocrites. Read Matthew chapter 23. Running around proselytizing people. Well, if you've not done this, you're not saved. Oh, yeah, you're God. Yeah, you're the God of all flesh. You make that decision. You're the only one that's got truth. You're the only one that knows how to get to God. You're the only one that knows how to get to heaven. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. There were people who were born and died and went to heaven before you were ever born. I believe in my heart there'll be every denominational that exists. There'll be people from every denomination in heaven. And there'll be people from every denomination in hell. It works both ways. I need to bring a letter and share. A 66-year-old lady wrote me the other day. That's not old. I'll be 65 February. But she wrote me a letter about how as a child she knew she had a relationship with God, but she was involved in Catholicism. The priest and those around him were pedophiles, living their lives under the disguise of religion. You see, everything in this world, I'm going to say this again because my time is all but gone. Everything in this world becomes ugly because of its connection to sin. You take a little girl that's been molested. Her dignity, her character, her self-esteem is utterly destroyed. Did she do that? No, she did not. But why is it destroyed? Because sin has touched her. Now she has a skewed perspective of who she is and what she is. That's why premarital sex is so devastating. The image that one should be is destroyed because it's been tainted by something that God said do not do. There's a reason God tells us to not do things, because he understands the ramification. He understands the ramification of the sin, the guilt, the shame. There are some of you listening today, you still carry guilt for some of the things in the past. You would never have to bear that guilt had you never committed that sin. You would never have to live a life of questioning, oh my God, will God forgive me? Am I right with God? Am I going to heaven when I die? You see, this is why we preach against sin. Sin will bring such guilt and shame and disgrace in your life that it's unbelievable. That's what sin does. And then Satan, after he destroys your life, he stands by the wayside and says, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. Gotcha, didn't I? Gotcha. Getting gotten by the devil is the worst kind of getcha. Devastating, humiliating. The shame. The first thing that Adam and Eve did after they partook of that forbidden tree, they sewed fig leaves and they made themselves aprons and they hid themselves from the presence of God. Immediately they had shame and guilt. Why? Sin. It didn't take weeks, months. No, immediately they had shame and they had guilt. Let me tell you something. That's what the devil wants to do to every one of us. Burden us down with shame and with guilt to say, I'm not worthy. I got news for you. Because of what Jesus did on the cross when he shed that red, royal, crimson blood, it makes us worthy to go before the throne of God to find help in the time of trouble. Don't let the devil your walk with God, whom the Son has set free. He's free indeed, whom God has forgiven. The psalmist said that God is plenteous in redemption. You cannot exhaust the forgiveness of God if you'll just repent. You cannot exhaust the forgiveness of God if you will simply repent of your sins. That's the great thing of repentance. Just repent, and there is plenty, plenty redemption. Plenteous redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. My time is gone. I pray you'll have a very blessed week, that the grace, the Spirit, and the power of God we'll watch over you and preserve you and keep you in the coming days. Pray for us. Pray for our revival meetings. And God keep you until we speak to you again.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.